Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show. Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him radio show. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and today we're actually going to be doing part two of the Opportunities in the Wilderness. Today is the day that President Trump addressed the nation about the Iran conflict that we just got into, and everybody's talking about it on social media. And I don't think any of us have been able to think about anything else for about the last 24 hours. I was very proud that the president took the high road. He did not choose to go to war. He said, Iran's standing down. But I kept hearing in my spirit, they're not done. They're not done. They're not done. And then I started hearing mass casualty event, mass casualty event, mass casualty. And I hope I am wrong. I so hope I'm wrong. I so hope I'm wrong. But hopefully the worst case scenario is they're not standing down. They're buying time because they know they're attacking a larger enemy. An enemy, if you're going to attack an enemy that's bigger than you are, you need appropriate time to plan while your enemy is not attacking you. So anyway, let's all keep that in prayer. I don't think any of us want to go to war. Okay, so this week we're continuing the series on opportunities in the wilderness with five more opportunities. Before I forget, because what we're talking about, the wilderness, has to do with the test of the blessing, because a lot of us end up back in the wilderness when we flunk the test of the blessing that I just taught on, I happen to think of one person in the Bible who passed the test of the blessing, and that was Joseph. Joseph passed it with flying colors. And in 2014 or 15, I did a series of teachings on it was like 10 tests that Joseph took. He passed all of them. And you know, if he had not passed it after, when he was in the season of blessing, after he got promoted out of, after he got out of prison, he was promoted to like prime minister of Egypt. If he had not continued walking in his integrity, God could have put him right back into the wilderness, couldn't he? Just like us. So anyway, if you're interested in the 10 tests of Joseph, they should be on Podbean. They should be on YouTube. If you can't find them, go to the comment section of justpraisehim.today and look for Rover Radar. She knows more about my stuff than I do. She's kind of my virtual assistant. She could probably point you right to them. I also want to mention that something that the Lord showed me about the test of the blessing part one. I talked about when the blessings stop and how most people will start manipulating, start trying to say just the right thing, you know, or whatever to get, you know, get the blessings started coming back in again, which is usually money blessings, that sort of thing. When you catch yourself doing that, manipulating, the Lord showed me that is proof positive that you are believing for provision from a person or a group of people, not Him. So that's a very big deal. All right. So let's talk about opportunity number 11. Of opportunities in the wilderness. I've taught before many times about how high pressure wilderness seasons are, and if you've been there, you know. The Lord will bring pressure on every side and remove every hope for comfort, because that's part of the pressure, and this is all part of how He refines us, okay? When gold is refined, it is put into a furnace and it's brought to a certain temperature. It's heated up and heated up. And in one stage, something called flux is added to separate the impurities from the gold. And I had to look up to see what flux was because I didn't know. One of its definitions is change. How many of you can agree with me that God puts a lot of change into our wilderness seasons, including radical change? Like you don't have a job anymore. You got to go home and live with mama and stuff like that. Nothing wrong with living with mama. I'm just saying. So the gold is heated up very hot. Nothing wrong with living with mama if it's voluntary, let me put it that way. The gold is heated up to a very high temperature, which causes the gold to sink down and the impurities to rise to the surface, okay? And He refines us the same way, because He refines us like gold, like the Bible says. He heats up our circumstances, which puts pressure on us. When you heat something up, it's under high pressure, isn't it? If you heat it up too high, a lot of things will just explode. And he puts more and more pressure till you feel like you're in a pressure cooker and the lid's fixing to blow off. And then he adds some radical change in there that you can't do anything about generally. He removes anything or anyone we could rely on beside him because he wants us to only rely on him. He wants to be our provider. And he takes away anywhere else that we could draw comfort because he wants to be our comforter. And then he watches over our wilderness very careful as those impurities, everything that's ugly in our heart that we usually don't even know is there, rises to the surface so he can deal with it. And the truth is, he knows we do not want those ugly things in us and that we don't know they're there, but he has to show us that they're there. I still remember the wilderness of 2009, 2010 all too well. And I remember I don't remember what was going on, but I remember one day I was sitting in front of my computer and something really ugly rose up in me and I was like, where did that come from? It was something really ugly that I would never even think. And it wasn't a normal, like a demonic thought, because demons are always putting thoughts into your mind. You get thoughts and you know it's not you, it's usually them. But in this case, it wasn't them. He showed me it was me. But at the worst points in your wilderness seasons, when the pressure is so great, that's going to fly out. So prepare yourself to see it. And he knows that if he shows it to us, we'll say, Lord, help me with this. I don't want to be like this, you know. He sees all that ugliness and he wants to help us release it. The wilderness is an exhausting emotional process for us as humans, but it makes you so much better. It makes you so much better. I can't even tell you. You become a vessel fit for the master's use that you could not become otherwise. I would never have been anything God could use if he had not taken me through the wilderness. Because the truth is, we're not worth very much until he sanctifies us and refines us. And it takes a while for some of us, especially hard cases like me. So he watches us when we come out after refining in an intense wilderness season two to see if we will apply what we have learned, okay? Or if we'll just go back to our folly. Just like school, you have summer vacation, which is the blessing time. And then you have the school semester, which is the time of learning. And at the end of the school semester, you're tested to see, did you learn what you came there to learn? And if you don't, if you flunk the test, then you go back to school so you can learn it. And it makes you better. As humans, it is our nature to go to comfort, okay? To find comfort when we're hurting. That's our nature. That's animals' nature is the same way. Especially when we're alone, we're out of money, we're terrified, our life is falling apart, and we're facing so much change and so much uncertainty. I think all creatures want to be comforted when they're scared. What this leads to is the temptation to sin or follow old patterns to get that comfort, okay? To return to old comforts that we should have left behind a long time ago. This temptation is not only common, it's guaranteed. Jesus was tempted this way too. Matthew 4:1, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Do y'all remember what Satan said to him? He said, turn these stones into bread. Turn these into KFC biscuits. You won't be hungry anymore. Hot, buttery biscuits. Yeah, come on. You're the Son of God, right? You can do this. He could do it, but he didn't do it because it wasn't the Father's timing for him to do it. Part of the purpose of the wilderness is to show us that we will not behave as well as we think we will when we're under pressure, okay? It sure showed me that. Deuteronomy 8:2. We talked about this many times. We're going to keep talking about it because everybody's going to get this. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou would keep his commandments or no. So he leads us into the wilderness to humble us, okay? Which most of us need. Obviously, I did. To prove us. That means to see if we can endure what he wants to use us for in kingdom work. And to show us what is in our hearts. Sometimes it's really hard to see, y'all, really. whether we will keep his commandments like we think we will, like we say we will, or no. So let's keep in mind the overall purpose of the wilderness. Isaiah 48:10, behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. In Matthew 22:14, for many are called, but few are chosen. Could this be why so few become the chosen? Because they never passed any of the tests in the wilderness? Because they run from the furnace of affliction? I mean, you do want to run. I wanted to run. There's no, where are you going to go to? Like Peter said, where are you going to go? Where are we going to go? Lord, you have the words of life. Because they just refuse to submit to his refining? Is this why there are so few who are chosen and so many have been called? Opportunity 11 is the opportunity not to sin by running to old comforts in the wilderness. And if you flunk this test in the wilderness, you are not alone. Can I just tell you that? Number 12, we talked last week about how I had to go and stay with my dad during my first wilderness. Now, I did not have to stay with anybody in wildernesses after that, but praise God. But there have been times when others had to stay with me and theirs, numerous times. When someone else's wilderness leads them to you, you still have a responsibility. Try to make them as welcome as you can because they're already suffering. You know if you've been to the wilderness. Or God can take you to a wilderness right after he finishes theirs, and then he can have somebody treat you bad too. I mean, take your pick. Try to make them as welcome as you can to live the life of a Christian in front of them. And wherever possible, restore anything that is wrong in the relationship between you. It is not always possible. I will tell you that. There are some people that do not want to have a harmonious relationship with you. There's someone in my family like that, whose name I won't mention. But my whole family knows who it is. Opportunity number 12 is the opportunity to rebuild relationships we might not have otherwise. That we might not have made the effort. We might not have had the opportunity to rebuild otherwise. Because maybe that person doesn't have very long left on the earth. And maybe you don't have very long left on the earth. And God wants to give you the opportunity to try to make everything right. Because as much as possible, he wants us to live in peace with other people. Opportunity 13. One of the main purposes in every wilderness season for every Christian is the opportunity to develop or increase our intimacy with the Lord. This is very important. In a wilderness season, the Lord will remove or disable many of those people you would normally lean on or draw support from. And anytime he's trying to get your attention to lean on or trust him alone for all of your provision, he will remove or render unable anyone or any place you could get that provision from without sinning. So you have to choose between trusting him or committing a sin. Okay? This leaves you two choices. Either you start trusting him, and you have to just make yourself trust when you don't really feel any faith yet, but that's how you build faith. Or you get into sin and rebellion since you're not submitting to his refining, and that is rebelling. Especially if you know he is trying to refine you. If you're in the wilderness, you know he's trying to refine you. He will close every other door so that you have to sin to go through those doors. The truth is, this is why he does that. The truth is, none of us would choose to walk through what it takes to believe our guts out, to build that level of faith, if we could go anywhere else without sinning. We just wouldn't do it. It is a very, very difficult process, but it produces something you cannot gain any other way. You can't read a book and get what you would learn in the wilderness. You can't go take a course, go to college, get a degree. There is nothing else that will give you what the wilderness will give you. Nothing. That is the only way to get just rock hard faith, intimacy with the Lord, and the other revelations that he gives you when you're in the wilderness. You can't get them anyplace else. But it is a very difficult process because usually it most of the time, at least your beginning wilderness seasons, and definitely mine, you don't have a job, don't have any money. The bills are coming in the mail. You're staring at the rent that needs to be paid, the utilities that are fixing to be cut off. And there's no money coming in with the bills. You know, normally you got bills come in the mail, you set them aside. Here's all the bills for the 1st. Here's all the bills for the 15th. And you get your paycheck and you pay the bills. And then you go make another paycheck. But when God wants to be your provider, he takes you off the paycheck system, sometimes without telling you he's going to do that. And a lot of times in answer to you praying for him to do that. And the bills are coming in and you're like, this was not exactly how I pictured this going down, but, you know, I thought maybe like I could win the lottery. You know, we have all kind of ideas how God can transition us, but that's not the way he does it. If you won the lottery, you would not have to develop any faith. And when that money was gone, you still wouldn't have any faith. Okay. Every day that pile of bills grows. Anybody who's been in the wilderness can tell you. Opportunity 13, the opportunity to develop or increase intimacy with the Lord. And the reason is because when you need money to pay those bills, you're going to go and get on your face before the Lord and get on your knees. You're going to go, Lord, help me out here. You're going to go to his word and say, okay, what does his word say about this? What can I decree over my situation? What can I speak into the atmosphere that will help me to pay these bills? What can I do? What has he given me? Because there is nothing you can need that you cannot fulfill that need through the Bible if you will just look for the answer. He's answered all the questions. They're all in there. I believe that with all my heart. Number 14, back in the early 2000s, just at the entry to another wilderness journey, my job at Bank of America ended. The company was, I believe, merging with Nations Bank, if I remember right. So whenever two companies merge, one of the things they'll do is they'll go in and they'll cull out a lot of the highly paid executives. And my boss must have been paid real well because they cut him. And that was really stupid because he was so good at what he did and he was constantly taking the team higher. He never settled for where they were. He was constantly taking them up. It was a sales deal, mortgage department. So a new guy was brought in and he goes, we're going to move the office to downtown. And I was like, no, thanks. Count me out. And I gave my notice. No, thank you, Bank of America. Can I just say that? So there's no way I was going downtown. It just wasn't going to happen. So I ended up going to work for a realty company that somebody referred me and said, hey, I think they have an opening over there as an intake outtake admin. I processed people coming into the firm, people going, leaving the firm, realtors. That was where I met my friend John Morgan, who I was so close to for about 16 years. May he rest in peace. So I worked there for about 4 months before the owner of the firm calls me at home one weekend. It was a New Year's weekend that year and fired me. I never get fired, y'all. I don't ever get fired from jobs. I work like a dog for anybody I work for. Because I could not make it back on time and she had the inconvenience of spending one day without me there. So she just fired me. In fact, when she called me and fired me, she had already cleaned out my desk. Who does that? And she claimed that other people had made it back. But since I was not willing to risk my life to get back for that one day of convenience for her, I was fired. I stayed in a motel in Oklahoma City coming through with part of my rent money, mind you. That whole story is in the Wilderness Companion. But so at that job at Keller Williams in Plano, I had been very open about my faith. And the Lord opened up numerous opportunities for me to witness to the realtors and the different people that work there. I really didn't enjoy working there because everybody that worked there, drove new cars and they had really, really nice clothes. And I just didn't make enough money to do any of that, you know. I had been just barely scraping by for a real long time. I wasn't highly paid at Bank of America, but I loved the job I did. I loved the boss that I worked for and the people I worked with, all the branch managers that I served. And so I stayed regardless of the pay because I could make my bills. I just didn't like have anything extra. So when I was working at Keller Williams, in fact, some of my clothes I had made myself and they probably looked pretty homemade, but it is what it is, right? My budget just didn't allow for many new clothes and definitely not anything expensive like what they were. But after she fired me, when word got out the next day that I had been fired, all those people I had witnessed to started calling me at home. Now, in all my years of working, I got my first job when I was 15 years old. Never did that happen, ever. In all my years of working, nobody ever just, where people just called me and said, you really made an impact. I just wanted to tell you what that meant to me. And I wish, I probably wrote some of them down in my journal, but I wish I had every one of those, everything they'd said. That was the most wonderful feeling. And in addition, when I got off the phone with her firing me, I hung up the phone and I was just in shock. I was like, are you kidding me? And the Lord spoke to me and he said, you know, don't be afraid. This is my hand. So anyway, after I'd gotten back from that trip to Oklahoma City, which went well to Western Oklahoma, I had taken a friend home, this young girlfriend of mine. They had come through with somebody else to visit me in Dallas. And she had called and said, if I come out there to see you for the weekend, can you take me back home? And I said, sure, I'll run you back home. It was no big deal to run between Dallas and Oklahoma at that time. I didn't think it was anyway. Had no idea that I was going to get fired for it. So my boss called me at home and she's like, you're fine. She's like, you're fine. She said, why weren't you here or something like that? Anyway, I told her the whole story and it wasn't good enough. So she fired me. But when I hung up the phone, the Lord spoke to me and he said, do not fear. This is my hand. And I'm like, okay, I'm good with that. Okay. So I wasn't afraid after that. So then all these people started calling me the next day, telling me how much it had meant to them that I had witnessed to them. And that was the most amazing thing. I think I was there maybe 4 months. You know, I'd come out with my good friend, John Morgan. We were friends, really close friends for years, shared spiritual stuff. We're always calling each other on the phone. I got this revelation about this, you know. But anyway, opportunity number 14 is the opportunity to encourage others in unlikely places. I would have never dreamed that I would be able to witness to people like the people that worked there. They were very nice. There was hardly anybody there that wasn't really, really nice. There's a few people you kind of avoided if you could, but including the boss. But most of the people there were really nice. Okay, One of the biggest temptations in the wilderness is in our reduced circumstances and all-out discomfort is to verbalize what we are going through. This is our human nature. We want to tell everybody else we're hurting. And I've never known a single person, including me, that did not do this. It's just who we are as humans. But it is important to remember some of the stories in the Word as we open our mouths to share our pain. Numbers chapter 11. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. I didn't know all these stories back then, y'all. And I still mess up on that too. And the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We want some hot dogs. We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all beside this manna. We just have miraculous angel food cake and that's all we have. All we have. And the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof is the color of bdellium. And the people went about and gathered it, and ground it in mills, or beat it in a mortar, and baked it in pans, and made cakes of it, and the taste of it was like the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. And Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight that thou mayest lay the burden of this people upon me? I mean, Moses was even joining in. He was like, you know, he just couldn't take anymore, I'm sure. He got so aggravated at them, and who could blame him? Numbers 14, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. Be careful what you ask for. Number 16. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men, and they rose up before Moses and certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, you take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord? Be careful. Be careful about running your mouth against the people God has appointed. It will get you in a lot of trouble you don't want to be in. Can I just tell you that? I've seen people do this over the years, and I've seen it turn very bad for them. It is a very dangerous thing to do. If they are truly devoted to God, you can find yourself in very big trouble, because God doesn't just overlook that. Numbers 21, verse 5, and the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loathes this light bread. Okay, so we can see multiple examples of the Israelites, God bless them, verbalizing their discomfort, shall we say, as we all have. This is a very hard test to pass. And another thing, it goes against our nature. You know, this is one of those things where in order to accomplish it, you have to walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. And that takes some discipline, lots of discipline. And wherever your gift is, that's where you'll be tested the most. My gift happens to be in my mouth, so I get lots of tests there. If your gift is in your mouth, you'll probably get lots of tests there too. I know two people that passed this test. I can't really tell you how, because I don't really know. My grandmother, Emma. I've never seen anyone go through so much and complain so little. She forever has my utmost respect. May she rest in peace, because she went through so much and she never complained. She never talked bad about anyone. And I was like, how does she do that? And I wish I'd just ask her, how do you do that, grandmother? She went on to heaven in 1998. My father, when he was dying of lung cancer in the hospital, I remember the last week of his life. I remember standing there and holding his hand. My sister was on the other side, and the cancer had spread to his brain. When you have lung cancer and it spreads to your brain, it produces migraine level and above headaches that are unbearable. My brother just went through that before he passed away in December. Horrible, horrible, unbearable headache pain. And I watched my dad go through. My father did not believe in complaining. He got that from his mother, grandmother, and I'm sure. And all he would say is, oh me. And you could see he was just tortured. He was constantly seizing his hands. They gave him stuff to, you know, keep his whole body from going into seizure, but his hands would seize. So if you're holding his hands, they were seizing. So you knew he was having constant seizures because the cancer on his brain was so widespread. And he still would not let his mouth complain. Boy, I tell you what, you got to respect somebody that tough. My daddy was a Marine, so I'm sure he got a lot of that toughness there. Opportunity number 15 is the opportunity not to complain. May we all pass it before we leave the earth. Not that we want to go back to the wilderness, Lord. Okay. Let me go back and find my pages. I just refiled in here. Y'all bear with me. I got two pages that are not in order. All right. Last week we talked about this. The wilderness boils down to, he wants you to submit to him. He wants you to be totally devoted to him. Put down those idols. And he wants you to obey. It's about obedience, okay? Submit, devotion, and obey. All right? Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee. This is the submit part. To get the pridefulness out of you and just submit. Humble yourself. And to prove you. That's the devoted part, to see if you have enough endurance and dedication to him to be promoted and used how he wants you to be used, and to know what was in your heart. That's the obey part, okay? To show you that you're not nearly as spiritually mature or strong as you think you are, and that's all of us. Okay, let's do a quick recap. Opportunity 11 is the opportunity not to sin by running to old comforts in the wilderness, okay? Opportunity number 12 is the opportunity to rebuild relationships we might not otherwise rebuild. Number 13 is the opportunity to develop or increase intimacy with the Lord. Number 14 is the opportunity to encourage others in unlikely places. And number 15 is the opportunity not to complain when everything in us wants to about how uncomfortable we are. And everything in you will want to. I want to leave y'all with something. remember this if you're ever in the wilderness again, or if you are now. The Lord takes us into the wilderness to refine us like gold. Remember how gold is refined, okay? Because that's, he tells us, I'm going to refine you like gold so that we'll know what the process is going to be like. There's a story about a gold refiner I told ages ago on one of my podcasts or videos. I don't remember where I found it, but I remember telling it. I went to this seminar in 1998 for something, and some kind of leadership seminar, and everybody had to get up and speak. I wasn't even used to speaking to a crowd, but I thought, well, I'll get up there and I'll tell that story. I had no idea. I had no clue then anything about the wilderness or that he was going to use me in this or anything. So it was almost prophetic, but it was really cool. Everybody responded to it. So there's a story about a gold refiner, and I'll retell it as well as I can remember it. It explains what the Lord is looking for before he leads us out into the wilderness, okay? And I think it went like this. There was a group of friends that were out shopping one day in like a touristy area. And as they were walking along the street, they came upon this jewelry shop. It had really pretty stuff in the window. And they went to go inside, but the door was locked. They couldn't get in. And they really wanted to go in there and look at the jewelry. So they walked around the shop. And out back, there was a man, and he sat by a pot of something over a fire. And he was watching it very intently. He was just really staring at it, watching it really closely. "Excuse me," one of them called. "Are you the owner of the shop here?" And he said, "Yes, that's my shop." And they said, "Can you let us in? We want to look around." And he said, "No, I can't do that just now." And they walked over to see what he was looking at so intently in the pot. And it looked like it was a gold color. It looked like gold. And every now and then, he would scoop something out of it and toss it to the side. "What are you doing?" they asked. "I'm refining the gold," he said. "Well, can't you just leave it for a minute and let us look around the shop? We really want to go look. We need to be on our way." He said, "I can't do that." He said, "If the gold heats up too hot, it will be destroyed. If it cools down, it will harden with the impurities still in it." And he had gone back to staring really intently at the gold. And they asked him, "Well, how will you know it's done?" And they said, "Well, when will it be done? How will you know when it's done?" And he said, "When I can see my reflection in it." And that, brothers and sisters, is what he is watching us for in a wilderness season. He wants to see his reflection in us. And when he can see his reflection in us, we'll be done and he'll lead us out. Nobody can lead you out of the wilderness but him. He leads you in. He's the only one that knows the way out. Nobody else can bring you out. If anybody else tries to bring you out, they'll just take you into a bigger mess. That's all I have for y'all this week. Jesus bless you. Thanks for watching and listening. Y'all have a great week. Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., Glenda Lomax, P.O. Box 60, Glencoe, Arkansas 72539, or by email at jphtoday@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination. Have you ever gone through a time in your life where all of a sudden it just felt like your whole life was falling apart? I call these experiences the wilderness experiences. Wilderness experiences are times of great uncertainty and change. They are times when our faith is tried and refined. After many of these wilderness experiences in my own life, the Lord spoke to me to write The Wilderness Companion, which is a virtual roadmap through the desert times of your life. Find out why you've been led into the wilderness. Find out what the biggest hindrance is to receiving your provision in the wilderness. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Drastically cut the time you spend in the wilderness by learning how to partner with the Lord instead of working against Him. Every Christian needs to read The Wilderness Companion.
The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax is available on Amazon.com or wingsofprophecy.com in print, Kindle, and new audiobook versions. The Wilderness Companion. Don't go into the desert without it. Have you ever been betrayed by someone you love deeply? If you have, then you know being betrayed by someone you love can be a life-altering experience. What you may not know is that every Christian must pass the test of absolute betrayal at least once in their Christian walk if they want to go higher. No test hurts more or pulls more strongly on your emotions than when someone you love completely turns against you. Do you know how to pass this test? Through a revelation received from the Lord, I share the good news about why betrayal visits Christians and how to pass this test once and for all. Don't let your betrayal catch you by surprise. Get the Judas Test on Amazon.com in print and Kindle versions. The Judas Test. Are there areas of your life you just can't seem to overcome in, no matter what you try? Are you plagued by depression, poverty, anger, lust, or failure? Do you recognize your predisposition to commit the same sins committed by your forefathers? Do you want a better life? Many people live their whole lives under generational and other types of curses without understanding they can be free. Learn what the scriptures say about curses and why they are still relevant today. Learn how to defeat every one of them through the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." You can break the curses off your life and start experiencing breakthroughs like never before. Read about different types of curses and how to break them, including anger, a curse that causes angry outbursts in constant anger. Barrenness, a curse that causes miscarriages and prevents pregnancies. Fear, a curse that brings a plague of fear and anxiety. Illegitimacy, a curse that causes lust, rebellion, and sexual dysfunction. Get the book, Loosed from Chains of Darkness, Destroying Curses Through the Power of the Cross. Available now on Amazon.com. Available in print version, Kindle version, and new audiobook.